Leviticus 25 and verse number 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." I want to thank you for listening in. This is Pastor Wynn Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina, welcoming you to another Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. And before we begin today, I want to take just a moment to invite you, if you are in the area visiting, many people come here on vacations and to the Boone, North Carolina area, and we have visitors throughout the year, actually, that come and visit us at the church, and so we always appreciate that. And if you are in the Boone, North Carolina area, we'd love for you to come by. If you live in the area and you are without a church home, we'd love for you to come and visit us at Mount Lebanon. We are located just 3 miles outside of the Boone city limits on Highway 105 South, and that is going towards Banner Elk if you're in the Boone area. And you will come to Baird's Creek Road on the right-hand side, 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road. You'll find Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, and we have Wednesday night prayer meeting. I'm studying right now. We are studying through the book of James. And also, on Sunday morning at 10, we have our Sunday school time. We also have our Sunday morning worship service at 11. So we'd love for you to come and visit with us. We have a church website. Noah will give the details of that at the end of the radio broadcast this morning. But I want to say good morning to Noah. He's my son. I appreciate him. He helps me a great deal in the radio ministry. So good morning, Noah. How are you today?
I'm good. It's good to be here this morning. We do want to say welcome to our listeners, those who are listening in on AM 1450 WATA here in Boone, North Carolina, those who listen in on AM 690 in Bristol, Virginia, and also those from KPGT 89.1 FM The Truth in Watertown, South Dakota.
We do appreciate our listeners, and when we are on WATA, we're live. When we're on WZAP and KUPI, we are
KPGT.
KPGT.
Yes.
I'm getting two stations mixed up. I used to be on KUPI years ago. That's a radio station in Johnson City. So I had a relapse there. But KPGT and in Watertown, South Dakota, that's replayed every Saturday. So sometimes, you know, I try to take that into account when we are on the radio broadcast. This week, the week of February 10th, we are live on the 12th. And so today, February the 12th, is Abraham Lincoln's birthday. And that's what I want to talk about today on the radio broadcast. I want to talk about the life and some of the events in the life of Abraham Lincoln. And I don't know if anyone else has noticed it, but Abraham Lincoln is making a comeback in these days. You can't turn on the news, the newspaper, Hollywood even. There's a lot of talk recently about Abraham Lincoln. Now, I think there's some reasons for that. One of the main reasons, I believe, is because this is the 150-year anniversary of the Civil War. And, of course, Abraham Lincoln was the president during the Civil War. So, of course, he's going to be talked about quite a bit during this time. The Civil War took place from 1861 to 1865. And so if you go back 150 years, it would be the year 1863. And so for a couple of years, there's been Civil War remembrances. That's going to go on for a couple of more years. You had the 150-year anniversary of the beginning, battles, Emancipation Proclamation, a lot of historical events over this time period, because we are 150 years removed from the Civil War. So that's one reason why this revived interest in Abraham Lincoln. Hollywood has latched on to Abraham Lincoln. I don't know how long ago this came out, but there was a fictional movie. I didn't see it. I really don't know very much about it, but Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Slayer. And so that's been out, I'm going to say, a year or two, couple years. I don't know. There's a more recently another serious movie just called Lincoln, and of course about the life of Abraham Lincoln. And this movie is, I'd read an article saying that, you know, and I don't know if it won a Grammy or not, but they had the Grammys this past weekend. I didn't watch, I don't keep up with it, but before, I know I was reading about that they thought that this might be the movie of the year. And so Hollywood is latched on to Abraham Lincoln and his revived, you know, interest in his life. Another reason that you hear a lot about Abraham Lincoln is because Mr. Obama, he seems very badly to want to be associated with Abraham Lincoln. And I was looking a while back before the presidential inauguration, there was a website, and I was looking, a news site, and it mentioned on that page, I just thought it was very interesting, Lincoln Obama, Lincoln Obama, all these different articles. It had to do with the movie, it had to do with the inauguration. It was talking about on that page that that President Obama was going to be sworn in on Abraham Lincoln's Bible. He was sworn in on his Bible the first time. The second time, he was sworn in on Lincoln's Bible and Martin Luther King's Bible. I watched that. That was just a few weeks ago, by the way, when President Obama was sworn in. And I also read that Mr. Obama chose to give this year's State of the Union address on Lincoln's birthday. Now, that's today. That'll be tonight. If you hear the radio broadcast on Saturday, of course, you know that it's already taken place. But several things are bringing the life of Abraham Lincoln back into the minds of people. There are similarities between Mr. Obama and Abraham Lincoln. Both of them were senators from Illinois. Both of them became president, and both won a second term. Now, for as far as I'm concerned, I think that's about the end of the similarities. I believe the contrast between the two are far greater than the similarities. For one thing, Mr. Abraham Lincoln, he had a deep respect for our Declaration of Independence and our Constitution. Now, I know there's some that do not care for Abraham Lincoln. You know, we're in the South, they're in the North, Civil War fought and all those things. I realize that, but he still, whether you agree with everything that he done or not, he had a great respect for the Constitution, for the Declaration of Independence, and desired more than anything that the Union be preserved. That was in that one of his main motivations in the things that he did in going to war. It was to preserve the Union. He thought it was his constitutional duty to preserve the Union, and so he fought to preserve the Union. He had a great respect for the Declaration of Independence and for the Constitution. He argued, even before he was before he became the president, against slavery, and he used the Declaration of Independence. He said slaves are men according to the Declaration of Independence. He said, so does the law make them property? He said they're either one or the other, and he used the Declaration of Independence and the Bible to argue for the freedom of the slaves. Now, there's some hypocrisy in all of that, and I don't want to get into that in great detail. You know, the Emancipation Proclamation freed the slaves in the southern states, in the rebel states. But it didn't do anything for the states, for the slaves in the North. So, you know, he wasn't perfect. People weren't perfect during those days. And there's a lot we can look back on now and think big thoughts about. But fact is, we weren't there. It was a very difficult time for our nation. One time, President Lincoln, in a speech, he used Proverbs 25 in verse number 11 to talk about the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. The Bible says in Proverbs 25, verse 11, it says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. And he talked about, and he believed that the Constitution was the embodiment of the Declaration of Independence, that the Constitution was the beautiful picture, and the Declaration of Independence is what framed it. So he used the Bible. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. So he had a great respect for the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution and the Bible, by the way. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. But in policy, in theology, in morality, Barack Hussein Obama and Abraham Lincoln, they really have very little in common in those three areas: their politics, their theology, what they think about God, and also their morality. Now, I promise you, you would never find Abraham Lincoln partying with the Hollywood stars and drinking beer and smoking cigarettes. That's what I'm talking about when I talk about their morality. Abraham Lincoln was a very religious, very moral individual. He placed a great deal upon righteousness and doing what was right. I want to read something from something that Abraham Lincoln said about property and about being rich. And I don't believe we could say that Mr. Obama would agree with this or believe in this just by looking at their two policies. But Abraham Lincoln said this about property and about being rich. He said, "Property is the fruit of labor. Property is desirable, is a positive good in the world. That some should be rich shows that others may become rich, and hence is just encouragement to industry and enterprise." Abraham Lincoln believed the motivation for lifting yourself above your present circumstances was to look out and see somebody who was rich. And when you seen them and you had the same opportunities and you could work hard and be rewarded for the fruit of your labor, that, hey, I could become like that too. That's what Abraham Lincoln believed. He said, "Let not him who is houseless pull down the house of another, but let him work diligently to build one for himself, thus by example assuring that his own shall be safe from violence. I take it that it is best for all to leave each man free to acquire property as fast as he can. Some will get wealthy. I don't believe in a law to prevent a man from getting rich. It would do more harm than good." Do you know we have laws today that discourage men, women from getting rich? I mean, if you're on the threshold of the whatever it is now, $250,000, $450,000, $500,000, whatever it is, you know, these are the rich, these are not. If you're on the threshold of that, and you know to make a little bit more is just going to mean you're going to have to pay more, where's the, you know, and I don't believe in cursing by any means, but I read something a while back that Clint Eastwood said, and he said it about Washington, this just a week or so ago. And he said, if Washington doesn't give a care, that's what I'm going to say, he said, why should the common man? If you're going to work and just give it all away, you know, if they're going to take it and waste it, why should we work to better ourselves? That's the mentality there. But Abraham Lincoln said, let a man work to be rich. It's good. It's good for the economy. Not that we should punish those who work and labor and make business. That's just one example of where they would differ in their policy. Mr. Lincoln would reject wholeheartedly the idea that government should be your keeper, should feed you, clothe you, house you, doctor you, sustain your business if it fails, and give you a cell phone. Lincoln would be against that altogether. Now, a lot of people have a hard time acknowledging this, but that is exactly what the slaveholders were to the slaves. When you become a person's all in all, and they have to come to you for every bit of their subsistence, then they are your master. That's what the slaveholders were to the slaves. They provided their housing for them. They provided medical care for them. They provided food for them and transportation for them. They built their churches. They built their houses for them. They told them when they could go and where they could go. They were their masters. And Lincoln worked to liberate men from that kind of a life. Mr. Obama is working hard to take people back to that kind of life. Everybody knows, if you know anything about the news or what's going on in the world, that there's more people on food stamps now than there ever has been in the history of our nation. Unemployment benefits, all these things that government is providing for people, it makes government our slave. It takes away our freedoms that we have. A lot of people may not like that I said that, but it's still the truth if you'll study it out. It's still true if you'll study it out in history. Now, Mr. Lincoln, he was deeply religious his whole life. I've read a great deal about Abraham Lincoln. I do not believe that he was actually converted until much later in his life. I believe personally that he wasn't saved until after the Battle of Gettysburg, which would have been very near the end of his life. Some people say that, you know, historians, well, after his son Willie died, that he became a true believer. But anyway, he was religious all of his life, deeply religious, and respected the things of God. I found an article. I wanted to share some things with you from that. It was written by Gordon Lindsay. Has to be over 50 years ago, because he refers to 100 years ago in this article, and we're at least 150 years removed from that. But it was in the Voice of the Nazarene, the Universal Challenger, sometime in the 1960s. And the title of the article, it says The Praying President. At the very top, it says, today, a full century after the death of Abraham Lincoln, he is still greatly honored and remembered. So this was written 100 years after the death, which would be 1965. And but I wanted to read some things about this, about the life of Abraham Lincoln. Now, it says at the beginning of this article, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, just some excerpts from it and make some comments, but it says at the beginning, it says, can we have a Christian president? I believe that we can if America will pray. In the winter of 1857 to 1858, we are told that the greatest revival in American history took place, due in a great part to the efforts of Charles G. Finney. One man who traveled through the country said that he found a prayer meeting 2,000 miles long. In Finney's autobiography, we are told that the height of the visitation, some 50,000 people a week were converted. This revival came just before the great judgment of the Civil War. But God raised up a praying president, Abraham Lincoln, and our nation was saved. The story of how Abraham Lincoln became the Christian president has not often been told, but is most assuredly true. Now, I've said this before, and I want to quickly say it again. There was a great revival before the American Revolutionary War. Had it not been for that, America would not be what America is today. There was a great revival before the Declaration of Independence, the fight for the Constitution. It formed our nation and made it what it is today. There was a great revival before the Civil War, which greatly helped to preserve us a nation during all that fighting and killing that went on during the Civil War. And I want to say, if we bring that up to our day and time, that is our greatest hope as a nation. It is not the president, the Congress, the Supreme Court. It's not in any of these things. If we don't have a real, true spiritual awakening in America, I am afraid that we are just too far gone to save. That's our only hope. It saved us in the past, and it's our only hope right now. We are just like a house of cards, and any little thing could just cause our nation to crumble. Economy, I'm not even going to get into that. But without revival, we will not survive. The great revival before the Civil War, and even during the Civil War, had a great impact upon the healing of our nation after the Civil War and during the Civil War as well. I want to say something, read on down about his mother and his education, the importance of the family upon a person's life. He said, "The effect of this mother's prayers, teachings, and dying benediction may best be told in her own son after he became known and loved the world over. Abraham Lincoln said, all that I am, all that I hope to be, I owe to my angel mother. Blessings on her memory." It says the books to which young Lincoln had access were few, but they were the best. The first was the Bible. He kept it within easy reach and read it over and over again. He could repeat much of it from memory. His mind was saturated with its precepts, and his heart was filled with its truths. The second book which he read was Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, which his father borrowed from him. Abraham Lincoln was what we know today as homeschooled and self-taught, and he had a great love for learning, and he knew the precepts of the Bible, the Word of God. And Pilgrim's Progress, if you're not familiar with that, every Christian should get an old copy of Pilgrim's Progress and read it. It's rich. It's beautiful. But anyway, that was his textbook while he was growing up. When he was elected to become president, he gave a farewell speech at Springfield, Illinois. And I'm going to read an excerpt from that. It said, in Lincoln's farewell speech at Springfield, Illinois, just before he left for Washington, the man shows his reliance on God. He said, "Today I leave you. I go to assume a task more difficult than that which devolved upon General Washington. Unless the great God who assisted him shall be with and aid me, I must fail. But if the same omniscient mind and almighty arm that directed and protected him shall guide and support me, I shall not fail. I shall succeed. Let us all pray that the God of our fathers may not forsake us now. To him I commend you all. Permit me to ask that with equal sincerity and faith you will invoke his wisdom and guidance for me." He had a deep reliance upon God. Boy, wouldn't it be good if we could have some leaders in this day and time that exhibited a desire for the protection and guidance and wisdom of God. In August 12th of 1861, he proclaimed a national fast day. In the beginning of the Civil War and the fightings there, part of what he said in that original proclamation, he said, "Whereas it is fit and becoming in all people at all times to acknowledge and revere the supreme government of God, to bow in humble submission to his chastisements, to confess and deplore their sins and transgressions in the full conviction that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and to pray for his mercy, to pray that we may be spared further punishment, though most justly deserved, that our arms may be blessed and made effectual for the establishment of law, order, and peace throughout the wide extent of our country. Therefore, I, Abraham Lincoln, President of the United States, do appoint the last Thursday of September next as a day of humiliation, prayer, and fasting for all the people of the nation." They believe that what they were going through in the Civil War was the judgment of God upon the nation. You know, we see many tragic things in our country. Does anybody ever stand up and say, you know, maybe God's not happy with what we're doing and how we're doing? From a proclamation of national humiliation later on, 2 years later, April 30th, 1863, Abraham Lincoln said this. He said, "We have been," and this is how we are today in America, by the way. Listen to what he said. He said, "We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in number, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all the blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God who made us. It behooves us then to humble ourselves before the offended power, to confess our national sins, and to pray for clemency and forgiveness. Abraham Lincoln, April 30th, 1863. So Mr. Abraham Lincoln had a great desire to see the blessing of God once again upon the nation and believed that people ought to pray and ask God to forgive them for their sins and their transgressions. Some of the last days of President Abraham Lincoln are very interesting. I wanted to share just a little bit about that. This article says the last days of Lincoln were marked by events revealing the spiritual maturity of his life. When he went to Richmond after Lee had evacuated it, now, I'm reading from an old article, so if this offends anybody, I'm just reading from the article, okay? But he said he went to Richmond after Lee had evacuated it. It said an old Negro caught sight of him and said, "Bless de Lord, there is de great Messiah. I knowed him as soon as I seed him." He and others fell at Mr. Lincoln's feet and kissed them, but the president restrained them and said, "Don't kneel to me, that is not right. You must kneel to God only and thank him for the liberty you will hereafter enjoy." That shows the great humility of President Abraham Lincoln. Now, last November, this was on television, the Soul Train Awards. It was in November of 2012, and Jamie Foxx, he's a comedian, he got on there, and you know how they are when they get up and they accept their awards, and I think he was emceeing the event, and Jamie Foxx got up there, and you can go and you can Google this and find it yourself on the internet. Jamie Foxx got up there, and he said, "First of all, giving honor to God and our Lord and Savior Barack Obama." And boy, everybody in the crowd, they just clapped and cheered. And he said it again, "Barack Obama." And they clapped and cheered and hooted and hollered. You know, if President Obama had any fear of God in him whatsoever, he should have come out and said, like Abraham Lincoln did, "Don't kneel to me. Don't compare me to the Messiah. If you want to thank somebody, thank God and give thanks unto him." Well, that shows the great humility of Abraham Lincoln in his last days. The last act of Congress signed by him was the one requiring that the motto, "In God We Trust," should forever be inscribed on our national coins. His last recorded words were his wish that after he had completed his time of office, he might visit the Holy Land and see the places hallowed by the footsteps of our Savior. His last public speech on April 11th, 1865, spoke of a call for national thanksgiving. And so Abraham Lincoln was a great man. He was deeply religious and had a great respect for our Savior and the God of the Bible. The Bible says in Proverbs 14:34, it says, "Righteousness exalteth a nation." Abraham Lincoln believed that with all of his heart, that righteousness exalts a nation. Oh, that we could get back to a time and a place of righteousness instead of such great wickedness in our nation. Well, thank you for listening, and Noah's going to give the contact information.
This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org.